67.
Sure if you'll get it. That's the USPS, baby, and they're going to cut a day out of the equation. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. A couple of quick things right off the top. We'll talk about the mail service, Chris Christie and his belly. He does not like to be called on his belly. And we're going to let you hear what he had to say about a White House doctor saying he could die. What's up with that? No, not even not even treating him, diagnosing him. You could die. I'll tell you a quick story. I talked to a cancer doctor, gosh, maybe about 10 years ago, and said, boy, is there, what kind of foods you need to eat and what should you be doing? And, you know, you can't be too heavy and you can't be this, right? And you know what the doctor said to me? He's one of the best surgeons in the country. He said, I would never say this on the record, but trust me, I've had people that you could bounce a quarter off of their stomach. They were so in shape. They ate vegetables. They ate a little protein. They ate a little of this, a little of that. Very balanced. And you know what? They were riddled with cancer. There is no definites. There is no definites. Now, having said that, being giant doesn't help because it's not helping your joints, and there's other things that can happen to you, your heart, obviously. But I love the fact that this doctor decides he's going to take a swing at Chris Christie, in a sense, knowing he's a big bear, and he's definitely going to reel off back to you when you have something to say about his weight. So we're going to get to that in a quick second here. But before we do, since I teased you with the mail, I've had my problems with the mail. In fact, Dave in Vermont, who won Nail the Score, we had a bit of a problem getting him all of his stuff. It all worked out in the end. He got a leather jacket and some other really cool prizes. But we had some problems with the Postal Service. For me, it's spotty. It's been spotty. Sometimes it's amazing how quickly things get delivered through the mail. Other times, I am stunned at how long it's taken. And sometimes the sour attitudes that I've been met with when I go to the post office, and I think, well, of course, these people are bummed because they keep hearing they're going to lose their job, and there's no incentive, and they feel like tomorrow the carpet could be pulled from underneath their feet, and that's the end of it, because the Postal Service's business model is crappy. It's not going to thrive. It's not going to not be terminated. What are we going to do when the Postal Service goes out? So they announced they're going to cut out Saturday service. No first-class mail is going to be delivered on Saturdays. You can, packages, yes, but no other mail, none of that. And they're going to save about $2 billion a year. But the loss of the money, the other things that are going on there, it's not going to be substantial enough. It's not going to work. You know, it's kind of like newspapers. Desperately, they had all their paddles working, and they were the rowers. They were the elite going down the river, going down the Hudson, the Schuylkill, name any river. And that was it. I'm the scribe. I'm it. I'm the king of the town. I own this lane. Now, because of what's happened with technology, we see that papers have become so obsolete they can barely keep them alive because they didn't figure out ways to keep up with technology if they could have. And that's the Postal Service. Their business model is crappy. They're not reforming enough. They're not reducing costs enough. They're not generating those new sources of revenue that they have to generate to hurry up and catch up with everybody else. The first class letter mail that you probably all have used is the most profitable thing they have, but it has fallen by one third since 2001. Overall mail is down 25%. The revenues have dropped. The high cost to do all this stuff. They have created their own bizarre fiscal bubble that's a cliff. I hate fiscal cliff, but they have they're copying the government. They lost $16 billion in 2012. They're losing $25 million a day. Think about that. If you had a company and you were losing $25 million a day, they've hit their credit line with the U.S. Treasury. and they only have enough cash for a few weeks to operate. It's not good. If they're going to survive, they need to do something now. They need to do it. For physical mail, they're going to have to figure out, I don't know, electronic alternative, something else. What's it going to be? What's it going to look like? And by the way, are you going to miss Saturday service? Do you even ever send mail? Do you buy stamps? How often do you buy stamps? Because now you don't have to do that. You can do things electronically. And that's what's happened. The technology passed the USPS by. They had a business model that wasn't workable, and they just were blind to it. They didn't care. They weren't thinking about it, because 2001, they were making money hand over fist. It was a peak year. And look at the difference. Here we are in 2013, and they're practically ready to close the doors. Crazy. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has no suggestions on saving the mail, but he has plenty of suggestions to the ex-White House doctor who had some comments about his obesity. Here's what he had to say.
My 12-year-old son comes to me last night and said, "Dad, are you going to die?" I mean, come on. This is irresponsible stuff. If she wants to get on a plane and come here to New Jersey and ask me if she wants to examine me and review my medical history, I'll have a conversation with her about that. Until that time, she should shut up. She must be a genius. She should probably be the Surgeon General of the United States, I suspect, because she must be a genius. I think this is just another hack who wants 5 minutes on TV.
Ooh, another hack who wants 5 minutes. Dr. Connie Mariano, she was a White House doc from 92 to 2001. She was on CNN. She told Christie she'd like to see him run for president. She said that on the air, not Chris Christie, but she said that on CNN in 2016, but he has to lose weight, saying he could have a heart attack or a stroke, which is not good, because then you plant the seed to people, I guess, listening to CNN. And I agree with him. Hey, no physical exam, no family history, you know, come on. But it's vintage Christie to tell her to shut up. And that the son said, "Are you going to die?" Because everybody's joking and he hears about that. I mean, you know, come on. And so Christie hammed it up when he was Monday on The Late Show with David Letterman. He pulled out a donut, said that his girth is fair game for comedians. And then, you know, he talked about the fact that he is trying to lose weight, and he's remarkably healthy, but, you know, his own doctor says your luck might run out soon, so you got to do something about it. And he says he's working on it, and that's the end of the story there. But I just thought his comments were interesting when the former doctor talked about the threat because of his weight and how he came out and said, "Listen, have you examined me?" So true. I can't tell you, sadly, the stories that I know about people who were supposedly healthy and on the outside were very thin, looked good, and died of a heart attack, died running, died on a treadmill. I knew a guy, 27 years old, boom, on a treadmill, running, and just, it was like almost death by exercise. It was so, so, so sad. And he was seemingly in really, really good shape. You know that whole thing about... Exactly. You know that whole thing about can't judge a book by its cover? There is something, too, that I fear. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to have a conversation with Ed Mosier. What if Ben Franklin were living today, or Abigail Adams, or Tom Jefferson? He's written about it. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, February 6, 2013. Gold opened this morning at 1677.10. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for 1718.80, 859.40 for a half ounce, or 429.70 for a quarter ounce. That's 1718.80, 859.40, and 429.70.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Sugar Boy called me last night. He said his girl called him. She said, can I come over? She said, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome back to America Tonight. You know, growing up outside of Philly, I often would wonder what Ben Franklin would think if he was looking at Philadelphia these days compared to what it was. In fact, I thought about it so much that Ben Franklin, or the impersonator of Ben Franklin, was actually invited to my wedding, and it was pretty interesting. He became the main character. Nobody cared about the bride after Ben showed up. So I'm really excited about our next guest. He's a funny man. He was a former writer for Jay Leno's Tonight Show. He also wrote speeches for George H.W. Bush, a former editor for Time Life Books. It goes on and on. If I did his resume, it would take our whole show up. But here's the key thing. He gets that idea of what would the founding fathers think. In fact, that's the deal. That's his book. It's about that. It's about the founding fathers, what Jefferson, Franklin, and Abigail Adams saw in modern D.C. So welcoming you from our virtual green room. We spared no expense. The cheap Red Bulls were in the background. Just kind of think about that for a second. Ed Mosher is with us. Hey, Ed, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, great to be with you. Actually, the book starts off with Ben Franklin's grave and where a mad scientist and his cohorts, they dig into his grave late at night when they're unseen, and they take away samples from inside his coffin. And being the mad scientist is a geneticist, and he decides to clone Ben Franklin and the other two, bring them back to life here in modern America.
And, you know, Ben Franklin's grave, what a great idea, is such a highlight when you go to Philly. People are throwing pennies all over the grave. I was just there like 6 months ago, and some kid said to me, yo, why are people throwing pennies on Ben's grave? And I'm, you ever heard penny earned, penny saved? So what a way to start that. And what does Ben encounter? Give us a few little nuggets, a few stories about Ben.
Well, I know that you do a lot of sports on your show. And actually, mm-hmm. the founders, when they're restored to full adulthood and with through a memory gene, their full adult memories, they wind up in Washington, D.C., and they decide to take part in the triathlon. And Ben Franklin, who was a great swimmer in his day, actually, he won a bunch of races and the Skillkill and the Charles River and even in the Thames in London. And he actually, in real life, he invented swim fins. So he takes the swimming portion of the triathlon on. And he's a very clever man, and he draws upon that famous instrument of his from back in the day, his kite, that he uses to use to discover electricity. And in the middle of the swim race, he reaches from his wetsuit, which he's created with a 3D printer in modern times, of course, and he pulls out his kite, and he unfurls it in the wind, and it hoists him up, and he sails along the River Potomac, easily beating the rest of the swimmers in the race, getting to Thomas Jefferson, where he gives the timing chip to Jefferson, who takes off on a bicycle.
I love it. And as you said, this biotech firm bringing some of these figures back to life in contemporary Washington, D.C., and one of them is, and you just mentioned it, Tom Jefferson. And good old Tom, was he stuffy or is he a different kind of guy in modern times?
Well, in modern times, he's kind of like the way he was when he was living his life. He's a bit of a contradiction. He's a very aristocratic, a cavalier, highly well-educated, but also very competitive and very liberty-loving. He's a very clever man. Like Franklin, he's a Renaissance man. And when he gets on the bicycle, he also engages in a little bit of smart sportsmanship to win the race. Abigail Adams and Ben Franklin run up to the top of the Washington Monument, where they scout the race course for Jefferson, tell them where his competitors are, and Franklin, being a good meteorologist, sees an approaching storm. And with a radio, he tells Jefferson about the storm approaching, who gets up on his bike without hands, and then he takes this 19th century style cape clothing that he wears, and he hoists the cape above his head into like a big sail. And he gets a big advantage from the wind, and he goes way ahead of all the other cyclists, roars past the Jefferson Memorial to win the bike leg of the triathlon.
You got to love that. All right, this is perfect. You talk about this as in the book as one of the adventures, and on this show, as you can imagine, everybody whines constantly about the TSA and the pat-downs and, you know, the three dreaded letters, the TSA. So what madcap thing happened with the TSA?
Well, of course, they're fascinated by the technology of today. And they want to take an airplane ride. So one day they go off to Reagan National Airport to take a flight, but they have to go through this amazing security, which they had no idea about. And the TSA agents rush up to Abigail Adams and start to give her a pat down. And the poor woman from the prim and proper woman from the 19th century is just horrified about that. Jefferson almost gets into a fight when he sees his friend being patted down. She's able to get her way through security because the TSA agent in question notices her New England accent, and he says, he asks her, "Would you like a pat down, or would you like to go through an imaging device, an X-ray machine?" And she realizes neither choice is very good, and she tells him, "That sounds like a Hobson's choice." And the TSA agent is from New England, from Boston. He goes, "You mean Butch Hobson, the old Red Sox player?" And she thinks fast, and she's wearing a New England Patriots cap. She says, "Well, I'm a New England Patriot." And so he lets her through security. However, Ben Franklin, he's sort of a suspicious-looking figure. He's got a ponytail, and he's very irreverent. And so the TSA agents decide to give him a full-body scan. And the whole airport gathers around as the machine is turned on, and Ben Franklin is revealed in all his glory, and Abigail Adams shouts out, "It is not George Washington, but Ben Franklin, who should be known as the true father of his country."
And there's lots of ways to take that, that's for sure. What made you, and obviously I give a little bit of your background, but you've written a lot of different books, and you're somebody who digs into histories too. You're not just a funny guy and coming up with a quick line, also biotech and medical firm kind of stuff. So this is in your wheelhouse. What made you decide to come up with this? I mean, you're a stone's throw away, right? You're living in Virginia. You know about the history thing. Obviously, you lived it. You were writing speeches. And did you think that some of the stuff that's going on is just so ridiculous that it was just primed to throw the founding fathers in the middle of this?
Oh, yeah, all the above. I did work for some of the genomic companies, actually, that the biotech companies up in Maryland. That helped give me the idea. And I've written history books and worked in politics. And sure, all the issues and politics of the day entered into it also. There's one chapter where they go to Capitol Hill at night, and Ben Franklin hacks into the Capitol building through the electronic locks, and they're able to witness a midnight session of Congress where Congress passes a Well, you may have heard of this. They passed a health care law about 3,000 pages long without first reading the bill. And the founders are a bit taken aback by this. So they just so Franklin hacks into the legislative database, and Jefferson writes out a legislative rider by which Congress has to have the same health care that it imposes on anybody else. And when Congress finds out about this, they rush back into session and overturn their own law, setting it back to the way it was before.
You have to love it. So it's mad scientist, comic-type adventures is what you would bill it as. And how did you pick the characters? Because, boy, you could have really gone through any era. It seems like now the big buzzword in history is Lincoln. Everybody wants to talk about Lincoln and his grave being robbed or some other. He's a ghost. He's a vampire. He's everything right now.
Well, it's actually, as you probably know, there's a book and a movie out about Abe Lincoln, vampire killer.
Yes.
So I had to put in a chapter where the founders, who again they're enthralled by the technology of the day, they decided to see their first movie, and the movie turns out to be Ben Franklin, the werewolf slayer, kind of a parody of the Lincoln book and movie.
Right.
And on the cover of the book, a very surprised Abe Lincoln is hanging from a portrait, looking with shock at Ben Franklin, looking into his iPhone. So we get Abe Lincoln into the book as well.
Yeah, you got to love that. The in putting this together and going through some politics, as you said, you have a diverse background. Is the push, do you have any desire, any big push to get back into politics of any sort?
Oh, heavens no. I have the best job in the world and the best material in the world for comedy to make fun of it.
Okay.
To actually go through the grind of giving speeches all the time and raising money, no thank you. I'll stay away.
Yeah, I have a great idea. Here's what I think, and you probably already thought of this. I think this would make a perfect play. Yeah, and if you make it a play, call me. I would love to play Abigail Adams. They'd eat it up in Washington. Are you kidding?
Well,
I love it.
It's funny you mentioned that because I am making it into a screenplay to try
there
to sell
go.
It to Hollywood.
There you
and,
go.
And the way to do it first may do to do a play and then a movie out of the play. And so we'll definitely be auditioning for Abigail Adams.
All right, keep me in mind. Terrific. If people want to get the book, they can get anywhere, right? The usual suspects. They can grab it on Amazon and on down the line, I'm sure.
It's right now it's an e-book, so you can get it on BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com. And in a few weeks, it'll be out in paperback again.
Excellent. Eddie M., thanks so much for coming on the show. Good luck.
Thanks for the questions. That was great.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Balance. Harmony. Mental alertness. Physical well-being. If once you possess these qualities, but stress now weighs you down, you can get your mental edge back and a holistic approach with Nootropic Mind Power from MindRegard.com. Not a drug. Nootropic Mind Power is a lasting, proven natural supplement with 12 powerful ingredients in nutraceutical compounds and are non-GMO. Plus, it's gluten-free, wheat-free, and formulated by Americans for Americans by an NSF-certified laboratory. Nootropic Mind Power is available at MindRegard.com, spelled MindRegard.com, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Free your mind with Nootropic Mind Power Cognitive Supplement from MindRegard.com. MindRegard. Clearly see tomorrow and yesterday today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $34.95. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
ATN for this hour. We're headed to the mailroom. Wow. How about Justin? He says, Kate, just say no to the drones. He wasn't alone. A lot of you are anti-drone, and you were all over me for it. So we'll read those emails when we get to the mailbag coming up in the next segment. But before we go there, I thought it'd be interesting to do a For Your Health segment. The reason I say that is, today I was just kind of messing around, looking up some health stories, seeing if I could scare myself and find out where I could trace back all these crazy studies that are done that just have a shocking headline. You will die forgetting everything by 2015. That is the prediction. Then you go further through the story and it's a bunch of crazy nonsense. But, you know, often on the show we have doctors on. We have other people in the health field and other people warning us about the costs and what we need to do. And, you know, last week we had some great people on from D.C. warning us about a couple of things that were happening, especially when it comes to baby boomers and the aging population and where we're at and what we're really stuck with. And the scariest thing to me when we talk about health, I think, is Alzheimer's, because there is a new report out, and it is a legitimate report that talks about the numbers tripling by 2050. Now, we're 2013, but tripling 2050 is pretty huge. If you looked at it, it would mean, judging by our population, 13.8 million would have Alzheimer's, and that is a very tough thing to live with, a tough thing for the people around you to deal with, and a very tough way to die. I had a great aunt who had Alzheimer's, and she's the prettiest thing, and I hadn't seen her in a long time. She would remember me occasionally. Then I think sometimes she thought she was talking to my mom, and she sometimes had no recollection, but was just enjoying playing dominoes or whatever, and it was really, really tough on the family to watch what she went through, and they got her the best care they could and put her in every progressive thing possible to try to help. So what do you do with this, with Alzheimer's? What's the deal here? Why are we getting Alzheimer's? Then, and what they're saying is, a lot of doctors are saying, sometimes it's the simplistic thing that maybe will help you, but it's not even a definite. It's trying to keep your mind active and working on words and doing crossword puzzles and things that you think, really, this is gonna fend that off? Is that what it has to do with? One of the most interesting pieces of research that I came across was from a place that I'm super familiar with, including the guy who runs it, a famous institute, the Cooper Institute. It's in Dallas. And they've looked at about 25 years' worth of records for over 19,000 people who have come to their institute. And they specialize in this idea of, okay, what can we do to prevent this, or what do we think is going to work to prevent this? And that what they found is, and this is one opinion, and this is this institute where they've had success with other things, other health problems, that people who are the most fit in their late 40s were 36% less likely to develop dementia in their 70s and 80s. So the whole exercise thing is nothing new. It's nothing we haven't heard before. But to say that exercise could possibly, especially if you're in your 40s and before that, could help you fend off a problem with your mind, that's, you know, I would, 37, looking at all those records for 25 years, and 36% less likely to develop dementia, I'd say that's pretty good. Some of you might have dealt with this. You might have a parent who's got it. You might have had a grandparent who has it. And it's really a very, very tough thing to try to do, to watch somebody completely forget who you are and then be so confused, so awful. And Alzheimer's at an early age, what they show is that there are brain changes leading to the disease that could start as early as 25 years before the memory loss or the symptoms actually set in. And they're looking at these drug trials now with people who have a gene, some kind of a little variant in their genes that they say predisposes them to Alzheimer's, so that they can measure them with a PET brain scan. And they're looking at other tracers and other things to try to figure out how they can stop it. What can they do to prevent it before it is full blown? And, you know, so often it's that whole long string of pills that somebody gets, and then the pills aren't any help to them. And I think that families, when they deal with Alzheimer's, you know, inevitably it's, you're talking about your brain destructing. That's what it is. Nobody wants to hear that. But is there something that can fend off the symptoms? Is there something that you can do to ease the burdens in the beginning? And it's not great, because there's lots of trials going on, but they're hoping for some successes, but nothing is definite. And if you look at the numbers, because, you know, we do that a lot on America Tonight, to say now that 4.7 million Americans have Alzheimer's, which is the most common form of dementia, I think that's just an incredible number to me. 4.7 million. And the stress, the burden that must put on families, and then, of course, that's translated into what happens with our medical system. And you look at the baby boomer generation and the ages that we're going to have. That's why 2050 is the scary number, because the ages of Americans, 65 to 84, is doubled then in 2014. So 85 and older is fourfold, so even more, 14 million. And that's when they're saying almost 40% of the population, that is an incredible number, would have Alzheimer's. Wow. I mean, that's like a tsunami. That's awful to hear that. And they can't do enough in these trials, as far as I'm concerned. Like I said, if any of you have had anybody in your life that's had Alzheimer's, and you watch how awful that is, how sad it is to see somebody who just clearly can't, you know, they are slowly slipping away, and it's very frustrating for them. And you can remind them and talk to them, and they just cannot remember. All right, on to the ridiculous stuff, because we don't want to depress you all in one fell swoop. But there's another crazy story that I came across, and this is, you know, it's this whole thing with, is pot good for you? Is pot bad for you? Is it pot a gateway drug? And there's a big push to legalize marijuana because of the amount of money it would raise and taxes and everything else. So you'll read one study and they'll tell you how pot smoking is terrible and it leads to other things. Then you read other studies where they say smoking marijuana, I just read this, might increase the risk of a stroke in people under age 55. Now, this is our friends in Australia who are suggesting this. They're saying in the study, young stroke patients were about two times more likely to have cannabis detected in their urine. That's how they found this, compared to patients who were the same age but hadn't had a stroke. So the even though this is, it's illegal, it's generally perceived by most people as having not too many adverse effects. It's not, you know, it's not doing any damage to you other than what people think is the side effect of pot, of leading to other things. But the study showed an association. They didn't have an exact cause and effect link, which is what you're looking for when it's, when you really have the evidence. And they were looking at the patient's age, what gender, what race, all that kind of thing, to see if the factors would be responsible for the link, you know, the stroke. And they found that a lot of the people who smoked pot also smoked tobacco. So how do you disengage those two things? What's the effect of the smoking from marijuana? So they have to do more studies on that to separate that, if marijuana smoking really can cause a stroke. Can you imagine? And that's definitely not conclusive because they don't even have the link. But they're saying that there have been cases of young people with no risk factors for stroke experiencing one after heavy, heavy, heavy marijuana smoking. I'm thinking, what? How are they getting this mini stroke? I mean, scary, but it's, when you think of pot and what pot does to people, isn't it more about the munchies than anything else? Now they're talking about a possible link to strokes. Whoa. I still think, because pot use is definitely up among younger people, I don't think that's going to scare anyone. It's like the warnings on the cigarette packages, all the horrible things you can die from. Then you see the commercials, the public service announcements with people talking through the aid of electronics and saying that they smoked how many packs a day and whatever. It doesn't seem to be dissuading anybody. And I think the same thing with pot. Boy, you'd have to have really conclusive stuff going to have somebody be worried that, geez, if I smoke this pot, I might have a stroke. Because they're right in this study. Generally, people say, well, marijuana, there's more positive effects maybe for marijuana and smoking marijuana. That's why the use of medicinal marijuana to ease people that are going through some deadly diseases and some other things that marijuana helps with. So you'd have a hard time convincing somebody in their 20s or 30s who's smoking pot that you might have a stroke. Look out. Don't take any more hits. Don't hit that bong too hard because we might lose you. I don't think so. They're going to have a better study done with more conclusive proof. We're heading to the mail next.
You want to get high?
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide provide customers with Real People customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Preparedness is simple when you have the right stuff. And with the looming threat of economic collapse and possible service interruption, it's time to get the best-in-class preparedness stuff at DisasterStuff.com. DisasterStuff.com has been serving smart preppers for over 15 years with quality products like Berkey water filters. DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. And as always, free shipping on all Berkey products. Stock up on water barrels and accessories. Get Country Living or Wonder Mill grain mills, Excalibur food dehydrators, Tatler reusable canning lids, Sun Oven solar cookers, EMP bags to protect sensitive electronics, and don't be without your Life Straw personal water filter, all from DisasterStuff.com. Preparedness is simple with the right stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
At coming up with opinions when it comes to the email. Never gotten so many notes during the day, or emails, snail mail, whatever you want to name it, ever in any of the places that I've worked. So bravo to all of you. And usually you're so on target, whether you're calling me on something, praising the show, or attacking something that's going on in the United States. Remember, you can always vent, and it's so easy. Just go to americatonight.net, click on contact, and you're in just like that. So, without further ado, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, thank you very much. This comes to us from Kevin, who I think is very much on target, like Justin, to defend the idea that we need to pull the drones. Kevin says, Kate, I love your show. Sometimes I'm not really sure where you're going with what you're talking about. It's funny. But usually your opinions and my opinions are on the same path. This time I think we're completely opposite on it. I am so anti-drone. The drone is just a killing machine. I don't get it. How many people have been killed and are called collateral damage, as you say? And then what about this killing? What is the justification of Anwar al-Awlaki, who is an American citizen? Why should he have been killed without being tried? That's not what we do in the United States. Even if there was some evidence, he was never, ever charged with anything. So I have to say that it's wrong, and it's very wrong to just have a drone picking off people here and there, cherry picking them, if you will, and often, as I've already mentioned, missing the targets. We all are the worse for it. It makes us look like a bunch of thugs. Still your faithful listener, Kev. Well, you know how I feel. I disagree. I think drones are exactly what we need. We're saving our lives. We're probably saving other lives. As much as there might be collateral damage, we're also probably saving other damage. Hello, a nuke. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, remember that? Yes, everybody was told to get out. They didn't, and we know the after effects of it. We're not dropping the bomb on anybody. The idea is to surgically remove the elements, and absolutely nothing's foolproof. And any time people are killed, innocent people are killed, that's not a good thing. Of course, it's not a good thing. So to question the principles of this war and the law of the principles of the drones, I get that. But I cannot saddle up with everyone and ride on into Never Never Land and agree if we're going to go after Al-Qaeda folks and anybody for that matter related to a terrorist network, a real terrorist network, somebody whipping people into a frenzy, part of these camps, poisoning them, helping with the bombs, whatever, and ultimately sending them off like a small child off into the fields to work because now they can walk, and hoping that they're going to destroy the target that they've been sent to, which could be Times Square, could be a plane over Detroit, could be a downtown building in Dallas. So Anwar al-Awlaki wanted nothing to do with his American roots. He wanted to kill us. He wanted to stomp on Western culture. He loved and thrived the power that he had by being a leader in Islamic terrorism, frankly. So, you know, when do you decide he's dangerous? Whoops, already killed thousands of people. I guess we ought to go after this guy, huh? I guess we have clear-cut evidence. They definitely had evidence for this. I mean, you know, where do you decide when it's okay to do that? When do you decide it? When it's not too late? And that's the problem. So if we're about to be attacked, don't we have a right to defend ourselves? I would say we do, and this is the kind of war that we're talking about. All right, I got another couple on this. This one comes to us from Allie. Wow, drones are a no-go in my book. Killing American citizens without trying them isn't right, even though we want to strangle him because we hear the horrible things we think he's done. It's not fair, and I don't think that the 16-year-old boy should have been killed. A huge mistake. How do we look to the other countries? How do people view us now in the United States of America? Now they view us as their friends who are the cop of the world to help when they're in trouble and somebody that they can lean on when they need some do-re-mi to pull themselves up, because that's what we've been. We've been the money bags and the protector for so many other countries that we bankrupt ourselves. How much have we spent on these two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan? You know, so you want to talk about the justification for the killing of al-Awlaki, an American citizen who is believed to be the guy who directed, was pulling the strings on the bombing of the airliner on Christmas Day in 2009. Yeah, I think that there's justification. I think so. Based on things that I've been told, and of course, you know, now these classified memos are going to be released. The Justice Department white papers are going to be released to the committee. So we'll see, you know, what comes out of that. I have to feel that they didn't go down the rabbit hole without some kind of legal protection, especially based on what Obama said coming into office, because that would be on his watch. So an imminent threat. How do you determine when a U.S. citizen is posing an imminent threat? You're looking, you know, that definition can mean a lot of different things. What is the condition that is required that we would attack somebody who's an American citizen because their interests are against our interests and they want to come in and attack us? I mean, that's what you frankly have to look at. All right, Barry, one more. Barry says drones are a pain in the you-know-what. They're a pain because I don't understand why there's so much controversy over drones. What do these people want us to do who are against drones? No offense, but I understand this whole thing of the civil liberties, and I agree with you on the Ron Paul thing. Why he doesn't get that, I don't understand, because it's all about hate for big government. However, when it comes to safety, what would you say? Would you rather risk the threat of being somewhere where a bomb blows up and blows you up in a crowded square somewhere because we were afraid of trampling on someone's rights who clearly wanted to do us harm? Give me a break. There is a big difference between that and just simply deciding to go after Americans, which that would be unacceptable, but that wasn't the case here at all. All right, let's move on quickly to another one. This came to us from Dennis D. And Dennis D. said, Kate, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but did you see that the Navy is actually pulling one of their big boys from the Persian Gulf because they're worried about money? I did see that. The Navy is cutting the number of aircraft carriers in the Gulf from 2 to 1 because of all the money woes we're having. It's impacting the military already, and it will impact the military tremendously if the sequester goes down March 1st, because we'll start to see that more money will be pulled out. The Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, ordered to change the two-carrier policy in the Gulf earlier in the week because of the money that's being spent. Those aircraft carriers burn the dough. So under sequestration, the Navy would lose $4 billion over the next 6 months. The last half of the fiscal year of 2013, the Navy already had $4.6 billion in the hole for this year because of the resolution for 2013 was budgeted at the 2012 rates. So there's big problems with this and keeping things at the same level. They're unsure. So you can imagine if you're in that position like Panetta, you're just looking at a big battlefield. You're looking at ships and you're trying to decide. They all have dollars on it, too. It's kind of like a warfare on monopoly money, and you're trying to decide, ooh, let's pull this vote off the table. That's probably what he's doing. And I would love to be a fly on the wall and hear his real conversations, because he's saying it's shameful and it's irresponsible if Congress allows it to happen. So imagine what he's saying when he's untethered.
I have been asked to announce that federal judge Walter J. Skinner has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with a low-cost automotive accessory called Platinum 22, which meets or exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. To learn if Platinum 22 will give you 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS or 1-800-537-7427.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.